Okay, this is the Frenchwood Oral History Project. The date is Friday, the 11th of January 2008. Today I'm interviewing
Khushnood Ahmed.
Okay, Khushnood, I'd just like some basic details about your background. When were you born?
In Pakistan, 1957.
What was the name of your father?
Khan Muhammad.
And do you know when he was born?
I don't.
Okay. Do you know what his occupation was?
He was agriculture land lord, and he would buy and invest in land.
Right. Okay. Is he still alive?
No, he died when I was 2 years old.
Okay. What was the name of your mother?
My mother is still alive and her name is Akhtar Bibi.
Okay. Do you know when she married?
Again? No, not really.
Okay.
But they got married when they were very young.
Right. What about brothers and sisters?
Yeah, we have 4 brothers and 4 sisters.
Okay. Are they all still alive?
Yeah.
Can you remember anything about your grandparents?
I do remember my grandmother a little, about a few faded memories.
Yeah.
I remember she was ill, and I remember people coming to our house, and I remember our mothers and aunties looking after her, that type of things.
Was this your mother's mother or your father?
My father's mother.
Your father's mother. Okay, then. Now, your brothers and sisters, where do they live?
They're all over the world. Some they're based in Saudi Arabia, some they're in Spain, Barcelona, some they're in London. There are two, me and my sister, we are here in Preston, so we are all over the place. And some they're in Pakistan, obviously.
Right. So you're really spread about, you're a global family. Now, I want to just discuss where you lived as a child and the type of house you lived in. So whereabouts did you live as a child?
Again, we lived in Punjab in Pakistan, but being my father in business and he was a traveller, so we moved around quite a few times when we were little.
Right.
And then we grown up in a city. City was Gujarat. And then we moved into a little village that was our grandparents' village, Jora. So we moved there and we lived there for 5 years and then I got married very young. I came to England in 1976, I think.
Okay. The house or the home that you remember most as a child, where was that?
That was again in the village. Because I was about 5, 6 when we came. And that was quite nice house, big house, really big, massive garden, and a lot of family.
Yeah. Describe the house to me then. Tell me about it.
The house was very open and very wide and very comfy. As I said, very open, and we could run about and play and go upstairs and come down, and we had really big massive rooms, and garden was the best place.
Right.
So all our cousins and friends, we would just run around after each other and play hide and seek.
Yeah. So it was quite a happy place to live.
It was, yeah.
Okay then. What was the relationship like with your neighbours in the village? Can you recall?
It was very beautiful. We never felt they are our neighbours. We always felt they are our relatives. They're like aunties and uncles. Our parents or our aunties and uncles, they never taught us these neighbours, they're not your relatives. We were told they are family.
Right.
We were told they are like your aunties and uncles, so we had to treat them as aunties and uncles with a lot of respect.
So it's a really nice little community.
And a nice. If we were naughty, they had the right to smack us. the neighbors, they would grab my hair and they say, "You naughty little girl, sit down here and eat." And I said, "Okay, auntie." So that's how it was.
Right.
They were like involved.
Well, there are real parallels with the way that people grew up years ago in this country. That's very interesting. What about shopping and clothes? You know,
we didn't do much of that because obviously financial side of our families, it wasn't very brilliant because I was young, a very young man when my father died. Mm. And my father, he had four wives. Being rich person, he had four wives.
Right.
And we were like stepsisters and stepbrothers and we were a big massive family.
Right.
So I don't remember all memories about shopping and bringing toys and a lot of clothes. I don't remember that.
No. Did all the wives and the children live together?
No, they were living separate. One was living in a city, one was in a village. They were all over the places.
Right.
But we all had to get together.
Yes.
And a few of the sister brothers, they were together with my mom, because she was the youngest.
Right.
And being the youngest, we were all little, and all the young children, they came with us.
Right.
And not just our father's children, it was other family members as well, like they will dump their three kids with us as well. So we were like 19 kids all together.
Okay, I'll come now to clothes. Did your mother make you clothes or?
Yes, she got them made because there used to be tailors, a family tailor. In those days, I remember our family tailor. They can only produce garments for your family, because they were big families. Like there are six elderly women, then it's like grannies and aunties, and then we are young girls and boys. So imagine how many people need clothes. And the family tailor, he will stay in our sitting room and he will start sewing. Our mothers and aunties, they will go and buy the fabric and give it to him, and he will carry on sewing. He will carry on measuring everybody. Come here you, so he will start sewing.
Did your mother and your aunties, did they have an important influence on you and the rest of the children growing up?
Yes.
Did they teach you, you know, the values, the way to,
they,
you know?
Did.
Yeah. So they, would they be the most important influence upon you?
Yeah.
They were. Okay. What about school?
Well, again, we went to private schools because of the living standard. We didn't go to public schools. So we went to private school and we had a little bit better education than the other children. For example, in the private school, we were only 20 children in a class, where in the government school, there were 200 children. So there was a big difference. And we got a better standard of education.
So in a government-run school, there would be 200
children, yeah.
In a class, right. So, did you continue in private school all the way through?
No, it was on and off thing. No, it was on and off thing. When we were young, we were sent to private school, and then we were taken off, because when my father died, then the whole family split and they went their own ways. So we were left, six of the children, we were left with our mom in that house. And we had to move as well to a little village. And then the life became hard, so we had to go to government schools, we had to struggle, we had to learn about, you know, I don't know how to explain, it was completely different experience.
Mm.
Life has been very comfortable, and suddenly we were thrown into this hardship, and we started learning, and we luckily we were very tough kids, so we adopted the situation and we just adjusted ourselves.
Mm.
Whatever came, we just carried on. So we studied very hard and
okay.
Went to public schools and yeah.
What about playing as children?
Yeah.
What sort of games did you play together?
It was going on swings, slides, and I was a very fast runner. We used to run and race each other, and We used to play marble as well, because that's a boys' game, but I've always been into, like, because of my brothers, I was a bit of a tomboy with them. So I used to play marbles. You know, it's a game like, there is a little hole in the ground,
yeah.
And you throw them, and whoever is faster or whoever is gone in one go, and I don't remember that exactly now, but I remember the marble, we used to play that. And I loved it.
Can you recall any other games as a child?
We did go, when we were school playtime, we would play tennis and all these games, even cricket, football. But at home, if we had time, we'll just go and play hide and seek. And I would go into the park with my friends and just go on the big swings. The swings are not like here in England. The swings are tied with a very tall tree, about 60-foot tree, and the rope is this thick. And you know, it's very dangerous because it's a very, very tall swing. And children, they shouldn't be playing on those, but we just went on those and we loved it.
When you were at school, were you in mixed classes or separate classes?
No, it was separate. Girls, there were schools separate, not just the class. It was a girls' school and a boys' school.
What sort of lessons did you, what's your first memory of school?
Well, if I be honest with you, because I had loads of friends at home, and I remember when I went to school, I had no friends. And everybody, because I come from, they thought she's snobby, she's coming from a rich family. And my background was that type of background that everybody started looking at me, staring at me. Oh, you know, the rich kid. And I wasn't rich because we were like living normal like them. And I remember the first memory, I didn't have any friends in that class very first day. And I had some money for the packed lunch. And I said to the girl and another girl sitting both sides, I said, I'll give you the money and can you be my friend? So I gave her all my money to be my friend. And I went home and I said to my mom, and I said, I made a friend. She goes, oh, that's good. I said, but I gave her all my money. That is my first memory.
What sort of subjects did you study?
In the beginning, the beginning class.
Yes.
It was just numbers, 1, 2, 3 in Urdu.
Yes.
Ek, do, teen, that's what we did. And then while we were moving higher, there was a level, they call it kachi pakki. You sit on the floor, you're not allowed to sit on the benches. The very young children, you sit on the floor. And we would just, we won't sing. We would just play numbers and draw. And I remember learning alphabet in Urdu. Alif, Be, Pe, Te, something like that. And that's it. And after 6 months, I think, you have test and you move further into a higher level, which is class one. And then you're allowed to sit on the bench. So that was really good for me. Yes, I can sit on the benches.
Did you go to a senior school when you reached the age of 11 or 12, or did you stay in that school?
No, again, then what happened is, because we moved into the city after I was 9, I think. We moved back with our stepmother, sisters. So then we ended up going back to private schools. That was on Railway Road. I remember it was a girls' school. And then we had to learn English. That's where we learned English. We never been to school in this country, so we learned English there.
Who taught you?
Our teachers. They always spoke in English and they always wrote and read in English as well.
Were your teachers
Muslim?
They were Muslim teachers, Indian, Pakistani teachers. Okay, so you were taught English there. What other subjects did you study?
All of them. French, we studied Islamic religion, we studied mathematics, English, all these. Science.
What did you like best of all?
It was Islamic and English. I hated mathematics. I hated it. I couldn't do it. I don't know how I carried on passing my tests.
It's strange, I think maths has been a problem for lots of people. Okay. Did you do any subjects that, such as domestic science?
Not really.
You know, which essentially were about cooking and that type of thing.
We may have done, but yeah. I don't remember.
No.
I don't have any memories.
And, of course, like you did physical exercise whilst you were there.
Actually, we did, you know, cooking classes. Yeah, we did. I remember now, we used to make all sorts, yeah. And I think that was, again, into private school.
Okay. What about your mother's attitude to school? Did she encourage you?
If I be honest with you, it wasn't our mother who was encouraging. It was just us, our sister brothers. Our mother was too busy because when our father died, obviously he was struggling and had a hard life to cope with other problems. She never got involved with our education. She couldn't advise us on anything. She didn't encourage us. And I don't know if she appreciated. She would just send us to school and feed us. Literally, just come home and
How long did you stay at school? When did you leave?
We have to start when we were about 4 or 5 years old. And then we finish when we were about 14, 15. And then it's like A-levels. When you do A-levels and O-levels. Most of the Muslim girls, they finish education. And if you want to go further education, then you have to go to university. I didn't do that because my parents, they arranged my marriage with my cousin. And I had to come here, so I had to give up my education, even though I wanted to go for further education, I didn't go.
Did you feel that you were capable of going on?
I wanted to rebel, I wanted to fight, I wanted to tell them, I wanted to refuse the proposal, but I couldn't do anything about it.
So how old were you when your marriage was arranged?
I was only 14 and a half when my marriage was arranged, and they said, "You're leaving this country."
And how old were you when you married?
When I came here. That's it.
So you were married at 14 and a half?
15 years old.
15 years of age.
Yeah. And my mother got married when she was 13. And probably her mother got married when she was 12. Isn't it, Banerjee?
So, essentially, it was accepted that girls would be married once they reach, well, puberty.
The way we've been brought up, the way our parents and grandparents teach us, we just accept it. Even though in our heart, deep down, we don't accept it, but we just go with the flow. Yeah. We just throw ourselves there. Yeah. Yeah. Give up.
Now, you were 15 years of age. Tell me about you. Did you get married here?
Yeah.
So, in general terms, tell me about, you came here. Tell me about your first. Where did you live? And
we lived in Nelson, near Skipton side. We lived there, and I don't know, I was not very happy when I came here, because I was sent here against my will, if you take it. I never wanted to get married yet, I was too young. I didn't even know what marriage is, so I came in the family and they were strangers to me because I never met my husband, my family, my in-laws before, even though they were my uncles and cousins and everything. I never met them. So suddenly I travelled 5,000 miles from my family, where I had a very happy childhood, and I was thrown into this world where I felt I don't belong here. And slowly, slowly, I started adopting it. slowly, slowly, I started accepting the circumstances and situations. So I started living there.
What were your first impressions of Nelson, of England?
It was disgusting. The houses were very small, and they were. It was dark, and it was cold, and there was no friends. People were like doing their own things, and it was horrible. And I came; it was disgusting.
What time of year was it? Can you remember?
It was March when I came. 78 or 76. I don't exactly remember now. Yeah, I think it was 78.
So you lived in Nelson.
For 6.5 years. I got married. I had 3 children, and then we lived together with my mother-in-law, father-in-law, my brother-in-law, my husband, me, and 2 young children in a 2-bedroom house.
did you get on, or just in general? Yeah, I mean, you know, don't.
Yes and no. We did have difficulties with the family, but we did get on. We compromised, put it that way. We compromised.
So after 6.5 years of, you know, you were living in Nelson, in a terraced house, what was your husband doing at the time?
He was studying when I came. He was studying engineering. And then he became became employed by British Aerospace. So he wanted to move to Preston because he was travelling all the way from Nelson every day. He was doing up and down. So he said to his parents that I want to move to Preston. So he decided to move, and then I had to move with him.
So where did you come to live in Preston?
We came to live in Preston, which is Frankwood, Ephraim Street, and we found this corner house, quite big property, a 3-bedroom and terraced house with a bit of a backyard and a separate kitchen and everything, so I was quite excited. And it was only me and my husband and 2 children. So it was a palace comparing to where we lived.
So how long did you live there for?
I only lived there for nearly 2 years, 2-3 years. Because then when my children, they were like young, I wanted to start my own business. And I went into business, and I moved from there to here in Frankwood, which is a 3-bedroom upstairs. And we had a shop here, and I started trading as textile.
What gave you the idea to start your own business?
I was always a business-minded person, and I always wanted to start my business, but because of my family background, they felt, or they made me feel, I was not allowed to go in business. Because our Asian families, if a woman goes into a business, she becomes independent. And they feel threatened, especially men, brothers and husbands and father-in-laws and uncles and you name it. Because when we get married, we don't get married to one person. We bloody marry the whole lot.
All families.
And then they feel threatened, so they won't let us go into business or study further and become a career woman, you know.
So despite the odds, despite the obstacles, you moved here and you started your own business.
Yeah.
When was this?
That was in 1988,
okay.
When I decided that I want to start a little business for myself. Meantime, I can be a good mother to my children. I have 3 children by then, and I can look after them, and I can still run a business. And I did. I achieved all my goals because I never neglected my children when I was running the business.
Tell me firstly about the type of business that you set up.
I started with the exclusive type of Asian, particularly Asian clothes, fabrics. So I would go to London and all these places and buy fabrics from Bradford and so. And I started selling here to mainly to Asian people. And then I expanded it to wider range, to the community, like anybody can come. And then I started trading with a lot of people, buying different types of fabrics. And then I started further, I started designing and cutting and making, producing garments. And then I carried on from there, and I looked back, because then I went to manufacturing. Then I went in textile, household textiles, soft furnishing. Then I opened a big factory and I employed a lot of people. So it's a, I carried on until last year.
So, yeah, so you were involved in your own business for 20 years, around 20 years.
Yeah, a lot of, yeah, 19 yeah. years.
How many people did you employ at the peak?
Again, it's various, like at a time, we would have 40 people, 35 people, then we have 15 people, depending on the work and the size of the business. But since last year, due to cheap imports and everything, we had to close down. It's a shame. Yeah. And now I'm still in business, as you can see. Moving completely on the other side and diverging our business. And I'm a partnership with my son now, selling insurances and mortgages and insurance cover for commercial properties.
Which neatly leads me on to your children. So tell me about your children.
My children, mashallah, I'm very, very proud of my children. I've got three children, two daughters and one son. My eldest daughter, she's a barrister. My younger two children, they are both accountants. And they achieved their first class degrees. And I'm very proud of them. And they are very, very well-mannered, well-behaved. They're credit to me. I'm so proud of my children.
So you came from a little village, literally, in rural Pakistan. A very humble background after your father died. And in one generation, your three children have gone to university and become professional people. So you must be very proud of that.
Very proud. Yeah. And in a way, they are very proud of me as well. Because I was there, I made that platform for them. And I worked very hard and I wanted them to get a good education and make something out of their lives. So now they have that qualification on their hands, whether they work for themselves or for somebody else.
Whereabouts do you live now?
I live in, again, a little village. It's called Hutton, near Longton, near police headquarters. And I had another dream when I was about 18 that I will have that house where we used to live when I was a little. That I want to have fruit orchard in my garden, I want to have loads of ducks and pond and a big massive garden. And I got a plot of land and I got my house built when was it? It was 1993. I got my house built. And that's where we live.
So you've come full circle in one way.
Yeah.
Tell me about, have you any interests outside of work? What do you like to do in your spare time?
I do a lot of voluntary work, believe it or not. I'm involved with four different charitable organizations and I'm working with them. And I'm helping all the community. It doesn't matter if they're Asian, South African, American, whoever they are. Anybody who is in need, I would go and help them. And I'm involved with a lot of voluntary work. I've opened my own organization, which is funded by me. It's called Big Steps. And we help people to go out, like on day trips and organize social meetings here. They come for a tea coffee break. We get together with these ladies and we do a lot of other things. We can discuss our private issues. Then we can't open up to the family or other people, and then we have to. Sorry about this. Discuss among us.
Okay, so essentially, your interests are an extension of your work interests. You know, you're a very, very focused person. What would you like to do in the future?
I think I'll carry on. As I said, I have another dream since I've been helping poor people abroad. And I have this vision that one day, when I have enough money, and I'm going to go and open an organization in... You will have to excuse me.
Sorry.
Hello, Complete Care. Walaikum Asalaam. Yeah, I know, I'm busy, I'm going to phone you. अच्छा एक मिनट आहो ले सकता है ना ओके दो मिनट दे मैं तेन वापस फोन करनी है ठीक है ओके 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 बाय सॉरी बर्नी यू विल हैव टू एक्सक्यूज मी इट्स एन इमरजेंसी बिकॉज दे हैव एन एक्सीडेंट
कृष्ण Don't worry, it's been an absolute pleasure.
And I have to get in touch with my son to go and pick the car up.
No problem. We will continue this conversation some other time.
Okay.